33-year-old South Sudanese chemical engineer Chol Grang Reo sits at the crude oil central processing facility at Jebelein near the Sudanese capital, Khartoum. His main job here is to monitor the flow of the South Sudanese oil to Port Sudan. Grang is one of the 6 lucky South Sudanese who received scholarships from the Malaysian oil company Petronas in 2011 to study several courses related to crude oil engineering at Malaysian universities. The scholarships were intended to help build the capacity of South Sudanese workers so that eventually a homegrown workforce would take over the production and export of the country's crude oil. Grang says the scholarship enabled him to become one of the few South Sudanese engineers who hold important positions in the country's oil and gas industry.
I'm in the Ministry of Petroleum in the Department of Pipeline and Refineries, and I'm currently deployed at Central Processing Facility in Al Jebelein in Sudan. So we monitor the export, we monitor the processing of crude oil and the storage facilities, including the metering.
Before South Sudan's independence in 2011, it was rare to see a South Sudanese working as an engineer in the oil business. Grang says, as more locals are trained to work on oil rigs, it won't be long before South Sudan can attain the government's goal of taking over production of its own oil.
We are ready, and South Sudanese engineers are ready. When you find a drilling rig operating, all those who are operating the rig, they are South Sudanese. All the manpower are all South Sudanese. What South Sudan don't have are the rigs. They don't have the equipment. If they have the equipment, they will do it themselves.
South Sudan inherited most of what used to be Sudan's largest oil fields in 2011 after breaking away from Sudan following a referendum. The vote was overwhelmingly in favor of forming a separate and independent country. But ever since its independence, the landlocked country has largely employed Chinese and Malaysian engineers to produce and export the country's crude to Sudan, where it is processed, then sent on to the international market. South Sudan Petroleum Minister Kang Port Chol sees South Sudan's reliance on foreign exports as a large obstacle in South Sudan's path toward full independence.
Economic freedom is the most difficult. There are countries today who have their independence. They are sovereign states, but economically, they have no freedom. Economically, they are not independent. I would be so much happy to see South Sudanization of oil sector, and we cannot do it without manpower.
Awo Daniel Chuang, the undersecretary in South Sudan's Petroleum Ministry, says when the country gained its independence, there were only few local engineers working on oil fields. He says, over the past 10 years, the Petroleum Ministry has tried to encourage and invest in developing local human resources in the oil sector.
Over the years, we have been able to accumulate knowledge and experience. And then by today, we have a good number of engineers, although most of them are fresh and have no enough experience, but they are doing very well. And we are confident that within the next few years, they should be able to be fully trained and get experience on the job, like what they are doing already now. And you could remember when we had crisis in 2013 and crisis also in 2016, and especially the one of 2016, the oil fields were evacuated by most of the foreign workers. But the South Sudan did that in the oil fields. We were able to run it for some days until the situation came back to normal.
While Chuang thinks there are enough South Sudanese engineers currently employed in the oil sector, a recent study by the Juba-based independent research group, the SAT Institute, found just the opposite. Nial Tidmamir, the institute's director of the Environment and Natural Resources, says the study found that a significant number of South Sudanese working for oil companies in the country are occupying positions they don't deserve.
We don't have a system that identifies people on the basis of competency. So you will see, like the data we have, will show you somebody who is not supposed to work in that position, doing that position. And so what will happen? It will be the Chinese doing that, and that person is just going to sit there and not doing anything because he's not training in that area.
According to the SAT Institute study, only 26% of the total national workforce employed in the oil and gas sector are engineers, geologists, and scientists. The report concluded this is a strong indication that South Sudan is far from reaching the goal of taking charge of its own oil sector. Some South Sudanese who are trained petroleum engineers complain that despite being qualified for jobs at oil rigs and oil exploration sites, they are being ignored. 34-year-old John Mayoma Kech, who studied petroleum engineering at Uganda's prestigious Makerere University, says he has applied for jobs in South Sudan's oil industry for the last 4 years without success.
It is surprising that the most needed skills in the sector are being ignored, and most of my colleagues are loitering in the streets as we talk. For the last 10 years, South Sudan has accumulated a good number of graduates in the oil sector, but less than 30%, and when I talk about less than 30%, I'm talking about the data that I'm sure of with one of the oil companies. You find that those who have the core skills in the sector are less than 30%.
Mayom says when he registered for petroleum-related courses at Makerere University, he was fairly confident he would secure a well-paying job in oil-rich South Sudan after completing his studies. Unfortunately, he says, nepotism and tribalism influence decisions on who gets hired in South Sudan.
Here in South Sudan, there is this notion of saying that it's not all about what you know. So it is very difficult if you have the qualification and you don't have the connection. And those who happen to go there have connections. Another thing is the crisis that is prevailing in the country. The oil sector is seen as the only savior for job seekers. And so this makes it to their advantage, putting their old relatives there to earn a few thousand dollars.
Petroleum Ministry Under Secretary Chuang did not completely disagree with Mayom's assessment of the way things are done in South Sudan.
If you have somebody who's working in the oil field or in the oil companies, he may help you, okay, to get employed. I think these things are there. Nobody can deny them. But still, whenever a recruitment is done, interviews are done. And of course, the best are always selected based on that. Yeah, and but whatever they're saying, it may be true and may not be true also at times.
Tit Mamir says it is time authorities stop giving certain individuals preferential treatment when it comes to the employment in the oil sector so that the country can hire the most qualified personnel. He says the country would greatly benefit as a whole if it could manage its own oil and gas sector.
For example, I'll give an example of GPOC. President of GPOC is paid a base salary of $75,000 per month. And a South Sudanese vice president is paid a base salary of $11,000. So you can see a huge gap. So this is why it is important. So it is costing us, this is our money, it's costing us a lot of money to pay the foreigners. This money could have been used to do other things. But this money is now being taken by foreigners. And also it is important for national security purposes. Because if you allow your important sector, such as oil and gas, to be controlled by foreigners, then they are going to control you. They are going to control the whole of your economy.
In June, South Sudan held its first ever licensing round, in which it encouraged investors interested in the oil and gas sector to apply and acquire the rights to new oil exploration blocks in 5 different parts of the country. Undersecretary Chuang says local oil companies are strongly encouraged to apply.
Our intention is not to take over and then take everybody out of the country, but it's for us to have the biggest portion of that operation so that we increase our share as a government and as nationals so that we are able to run a very good percentage, okay, a good share of that operation. This is what we need, but we'll continue forever to be a multinational industry.
The Greater Pioneer Operating Company, or GPOC, is an oil consortium operating in South Sudan, owned by the China National Petroleum Corporation, Malaysia's Petronas, and ONGC Videsh, the overseas arm of ONGC India. The Dar Petroleum Operating Company, also operating in South Sudan, is a consortium of the China National Petroleum, Petronas, Nilepet of South Sudan, China's Sinopec, Tri-Ocean Energy of Egypt, and DEEPOK, an exploration and production company based in Juba. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Juba.